Good morning. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Very special day for me here in the studio. I got a legend in the house from Cookeville, Steve Jones. Been around the Cookeville area a long period of time. Coached just about everywhere around Putnam County. And just interested to dive in with you today, Steve, and learn a little bit more about you. But welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's really cool for me to have you on the show. And I've known you for a long, long time. The thing that sticks out to me, Steve, is you don't seem to age. I mean, you look the same as the day that I had you in fifth grade math at Parkview. And it's amazing. How do you do that?
Well, really, it's all on the outside. It's not on the inside, because as you get older, you get to, you have those little feelings where you don't, I don't feel as good this morning or whatever. So, but no, I still feel good. I just, you know, the injuries seem to come a little more often now.
Yeah, no doubt. But you do. You look great. You take care of yourself. I want to dive in here, and you know, there may be somebody out there in the Cookeville area, Upper Cumberland area, and your podcast goes out all over the place. There might be somebody out there that don't know you. So let's talk a little bit about you growing up. You let everybody know where you grew up, a little bit about your family.
I grew up down in the country in Silver Point, and halfway between Silver Point and Buffalo Valley, and went to school at Silver Point to begin with. Then moved to Baxter and went to, I'm an upperman, a B, and I went to high school at Upperman and played football, but we didn't have baseball or any other sports pretty much, but football and basketball at that particular time. So I played, and then happened to be played under Frank Medley, and then Sam Warwick, who was a linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings, came down and student teaching, and he changed our philosophy, our football, altogether. He was really, and I loved watching him play on TV. But then I went on to Tennessee Tech and wasn't for sure what I wanted to do, and got into education and worked in education for a while, as far as just going to school and being an aide at Parkview mostly. And I can remember your mom and dad and the whole family. So I've had the
probably
pleasure.
Probably coming in for a teacher's meeting, no doubt with me.
No, I guarantee you. You were always a good worker and easy to deal with. And a lot of times, you know, children are not that way. But I spent 41 years teaching at Parkview, and then I went to Prescott. And while I was at Prescott with Mr. Little, David Little was just fantastic principal. He asked me if I would start a basketball program over there. So I started in, I did the fifth and sixth grade, and just had a great group of kids. And Bob Dawson, he did the girls and I did the boys. And it was really a good situation. And David made it really easy too.
Yeah. Today we're talking to Steve Jones, just overall done everything in Putnam County throughout his life. And we're going to dive in a little bit more. Let's talk about your family growing up. Your mom and dad, are they still around?
Well, Dad died. He died in 2002, and Mom is still living. She's 92. She's got dementia, but she can remember her childhood and just has a lot of memories. It's kind of fun sitting and listening to her.
Yeah.
And she never runs out of things to talk about. But she's declining, but I go down and spend some time, and my older sister, Colleen, she will go down and spend time with her also. So we try to keep her going, and she's a little under the weather today, though.
Yeah. So growing up in Cookeville, you know how it is right now. You've been a teacher for a long time. When you were growing up, give us a little bit of the times, the daily schedule that you had at that time. What was it like in Cookeville at that time when you were growing up?
Well, I went to school at Silver Point to start with. A funny story. It's kind of funny how teachers handle situations. And I always brought the baseball, the bat, and the glove too. And we played on the field down there at the community center now, which was the old Silver Point school. And I know one day they didn't pick the teams like I thought they should. And I got kind of upset, and I just took my baseball and my bat and my glove, and I just went up there and sat on the porch. Miss Anna Mae Smith was my teacher, and she found out what happened. So the rest of the week, she kept my bat, glove, and ball and let everybody else play, and I had to sit and watch. So I learned a very valuable lesson. You don't get your way all the time. And you got to learn how to handle those situations.
That's a pretty good lesson to learn at that age, I would say. That could do a lot of kids good nowadays, I think. So, okay, so I didn't know you went to Baxter. I just found that out today. So you ended up going to the elementary down there and then through the middle school and then all the way to high school.
I started in the, I think we went fifth and sixth grade, up to sixth grade, and I started in fifth from Silver Point, and back then you had Miss Shanks and you had the class tournaments, and so they needed somebody to play basketball, and I'd really never played at that point, and so I played in the tournament. I think we played two games, and I think I ended up scoring 6 points in both games. So, you know, I was, you feel like a hero, you know, when you're doing those things. But it was a lot of fun, and I had most of my experiences at that particular time was Little League and played under Carl Swallows at Baxter, and Carl was really, really good. And then I went on to Babe Ruth in the Coupeville and played under Kenneth Randolph. And had the really neat opportunity that I played against Watson and Mac Brown and had the opportunity to play on the All-Star team with them. So it's really neat to see those people and then how they've turned out today.
You know, I had Watson on the show previously, and I asked him the first question, and then 29 minutes later, the interview is over. That was probably the easiest interview I've ever done in my life. But he's got the gift of gab, no doubt. Had to be cool to play with them guys, though. Watson and Mac are known as a couple of the best athletes come through.
Tremendous, tremendous. There's not anything. I mean, it's whatever sport that they wanted to take up, that they'd just be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun.
Talking to Steve Jones today, former coach in this area, teacher, longtime teacher in this area. And we'll jump into that right now. But first, you know, after you get down to Upperman High School after your middle school days, did you play any sports down there at UHS?
At Upperman, I played football and lettered. I started as a sophomore, and as a senior, I was all district and really, really enjoyed playing under Frank Medley with the opportunity to play with under Sam Warwick. It was really a neat experience. I mean, you don't get to play under a professional football player. And after I got out, then I decided, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I decided to go to college, got into college. And for the first 2 years, you know, you're trying to find your way around and you make some decisions and then you decide you want to make other decisions and decide to get into education. And Henry Farrell was the principal at Parkview at that time. And they let me come over and work with the teachers over there. One of the greatest buildings to work at was at Parkview. The teachers were fantastic, and Mr. Farrell was good. And then he left, and Mr. Loftus came over and was really – he seemed to know everybody in the county. So if you had a problem with a student, you would talk to him. He'd call the parents in, and he was either kin to them or had known them for the last 25 or 30 years. So – by the time the parent left, you know, they were just as happy as they could be, and we were too.
Well, I was in that office a couple of times, unfortunately. I can tell you from experience, that's as a child going to Parkview, you didn't want to be in that office with Mr. Loftus.
Yes, he was really good. And then I stayed there, and I'm not sure on the particular time, but it's about 15 years, I think it was. And during the time of Bill Walker and I, we started a Parkview. I was coaching junior pro basketball, and we started the Parkview Christmas tournaments. I met a lot of good people and a lot of good coaches during that particular time, and it was a lot of fun, very competitive, but a lot of fun too. And then after that, I worked with Terry Randolph at the junior high school and had a really neat day. Terry is a really, really good basketball coach. And then moved on to coach with Bill Davison and Terry Randolph at the high school.
These are all my coaches. You know, I just had Terry Randolph on the show not a couple of weeks ago, and just an interesting conversation.
Yes.
A lot of things I didn't know, and he was a really good coach. A pivotal point in my life. You know, something happened to me there, and I guess it was ninth grade at that time, and we talked about that. And you know, he didn't even remember it. It was something that he was very appreciative. But you mentioned Bill Walker. What some of the other teachers that you worked with at Parkland?
Well, one of the greatest influences on my, I've really had a lot of great influence. Lon Markham was a really big influence, but probably the single most influence was Herbie Merritt, who was the PE teacher out there. And I know Herbie, while I was there before I started teaching, I worked with him as an aide, and he always seemed to get the most, I guess maybe the harder type students to deal with. But he taught me a very valuable lesson in that, in the fact that you can be harder on them early in the year and ease up toward the end of the year. And he just had a great influence. And then when they expanded in junior pro basketball, they had team 17 and team 18, and David Norris took one and I took the other one. And I had, I was trying to go through all the names, but I can't think of all of them now. Bruce Bean and at the Dairy Queen, and Bruce played, and there were several others, Jeff Holloway. But anyway, we had a great time. Noble Cody and Jack Sales ran the league at that particular time. And, maybe I shouldn't tell this, but they kindly picked their team to begin with and then let everybody else pick theirs.
Then had the draft.
Yes. And the second year we played, we ended up beating Noble and Jack.
Wow.
But before we beat Jack, we beat Noble, and Jack gave me a, wrote out on a piece of paper right after the game. He had the steakhouse here in Cooper. And he invited me to come down, and I could have steak, just whatever I wanted. And I never did go, but I kept a piece of paper for, I guess, 15, 20 years. And it's kind of neat to look at, but I eventually threw it away. So Herbie was so really, really good as far as, he taught me a lot of things, that I had never considered, because you know how kids get excited. Well, I was excited like they were. I'd be on the bench, and I'd be up hollering and screaming and walking up and down. The officials come by and say, you need to slow down a little bit. And Herbie told me one of the most important things, I think, that I've ever had anyone tell me. He said, you know, if you're running around screaming, hollering, and out of control, the kids are going to be that way too. He said they have to have someone to look to on the sideline.
I want to continue that conversation. We'll take a quick break, and we'll pick up, back up right there when we get back. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Good morning, Upper Cumberland. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Steve Jones in the studio today, and we were talking a little bit about coaching the younger athletes out there. And you said something that makes a lot of sense to me, Steve. And in all honesty, I was probably on the other side of that as a coach. I've had all kinds of coaches as different personalities along the way. And I was probably a little bit more of a yeller, but I hope the times that I yelled at the kids, I wasn't yelling at them. I was just being motivated, you know, with excited about what I was doing there. And you kind of approach it a little bit of a different way. I've seen coaches use that approach and get a lot out of kids. I've seen coaches use the approach that you use, and I would throw another person in there, Derwood Vaughn from up at Livingston. You know, had the same type of mentality that you did in your coaching. But let's talk a little bit again about that mentality in leading students and student athletes on the court or on the field.
Well, the good thing about teaching is you get to see a lot of different personalities. And you learn to deal with those personalities. So when you're developing your philosophy in coaching, then you get to thinking, you know, what works in the classroom may work out on the baseball field or the basketball court. And so you try to develop, and you realize, well, first of all, you got to get children to work in school. So, you know, when they work and really do a good job, they're excited because they get a grade. So in sports, you're really hard work pays off. And if kids understand that, then the next thing, they're going to show up for practice. And that's the second thing. If they don't practice, they're not going to be very good. And then it's how you decide to handle. You can't just have a set rule, I don't think, or it never worked for me, so I'm on all this pertains to me. You can't have just one general rule that fits everybody. So you might really be harder on this particular child because you know that that's what motivates him, whereas maybe you can't get onto this one. So if I'm going to fuss and complain a whole lot, I'm going to do that more during the practice, and then the game. You can't feel any worse if you make a mistake during the game than that particular child. So if you berate them or whatever, then that's just going to cause you headaches in the long run because they're going to feel really bad. They already did. So now you've compounded everything. So, and a lot of these things came, I think, through talking to and watching people. You were talking about you like to, get excited during the game. Justin McClellan's mom, when she was doing junior pro, she used to get really excited and the kids loved her. That was her personality and it worked for her. So, I mean, it's all a matter of what your personality is. And mine, I think I developed a more of a laid back personality over time, but in practice, you know, I think the, kids that I coached, they understood that. And I'm on the switch sports, briefly. I got my really first ever coaching experience coaching, the first year they had girls softball in Coolville. And there was four teams. The ages ran from, 8 to 15. My cousin Sam Jones and I showed up. We're over at the old junior high school, Coolville Junior High School, and down on the field is our team when we pull up. And as we got closer, I looked at Sam, I said, I don't think this is a softball team. Cause the girls were out there with their boyfriends and, some of them were smoking. And, so I got them together and their boyfriends were standing there with them. Now I never coached a day in my life and Sam hadn't either. So we thought, well, we'll just, you know, let them hit some. And, we just told them to get out there where they wanted to play. So we practiced four or five times, had our first game and got beat 42-7. And I said, well, this doesn't seem right. But so we go ahead and we have another practice. The boyfriends are out there and standing behind them and all that. And these are great girls now. And you know, I haven't seen them in, I don't forever, but I bet if you look at them now, they're really successful. But back at that particular time, the second game we got beat 36-6. So I got my books out and started reading and doing a little studying and on what coaches do. And I came back to the next practice and I said, girls, I said, we're going to have three or four rules. And I said, I expect you to follow those. And I guess when I said I expect you to follow them, they'd never heard me say that because I had never said anything about expecting anything. But anyway, I said, no boyfriends. And I said, I'm going to tell you where I want you to play because I got to watch them. And, you know, deep inside of you, you kind of say, well, this girl could probably play here or whatever. I said, well, no. And their use of language they used a lot of four letter words to start with. But anyway, I said, we'll have no cussing, no fussing. And I said, I'm going to tell you where to play. And, I said, you're going to do what I tell you to. And the only other game we lost that year was they changed the rules. We played the number one team, and they changed the rules a little bit and said, oh, you've got a 15-year-old. The league is set up for just 8 through 14. And, of course, we just took the girls that they gave. So they made her quit and made us forfeit that particular game. But then we did come back and beat them later on in the year. But we finished second tied because they had beat us the only two games. But I realized at that particular time, you know, there's more to coaching than just rolling the ball out or just throwing it up and hitting them. And my son now is 11, and my wife and my high school daughter she plays high school softball. and my wife Kathy, who teaches at Prescott, just they support me in any way that I want to go as far as that goes. And I'm currently now, even though I'm not coaching basketball anymore, I'm currently coaching 9 and 10 year old baseball team at Jerry Whitson.
Well, I didn't know that.
And my son's a left-hander, and I'm very few left-handers that I've ever coached before. But he loves, and he said Coach Chapin has worked with him a little bit, and Marty Cook, who I think the world of both of those, and they're just really great kids. So we have philosophy, I'm going to help you as much as I can, and then I'm going to get somebody better than me to help you. And he'll, from time to time, when I say so-and-so's going to work with you, he said, so we're going up one notch.
it's an improvement from
yes.
Good old dad, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's a separation there. Yeah. High school and a nine-year-old, how is that working with that?
Well, he's 11 now, but he loves to pitch. And one thing I've always been able to do, in fact, I had a niece of yours earlier. I've coached pretty much now almost everything with Happy Jerry Watson at the Upperman High School. Then I came down to T-ball, coaches pitch, and now kids pitch. So all the years that I coached Little League at Baxter and J.D. Hurd, who was a phenomenal ball player, we would go on Sundays. I'd walk to Silver Point, which was about 2.5 miles from where I lived. And I would walk up to Silver Point and watch J.D. play. And there was no spot J.D. couldn't play. He caught, played third base. And you played in gravels mm-hmm. is what you played. So I'd see him drop down on both knees and catch the ball and throw from his knees to first base on the line. Then he'd pitch, and he could throw all kinds of pitches. And people used to tell me if he had had backing, he could have gone on and played professional right. baseball. But I've had a lot of really, really nice people. And he asked me, he said, why don't you help me do a baseball team down Baxter? And I said, well, I'll be happy to. And after our first practice, I became the head coach. I don't know what. He was pretty good with psychology, evidently, because he got me to be the head coach.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
We're going to pick that up. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Steve Jones in the studio today and talking about his career in teaching and coaching, and pick up right where we left off, Steve. So he kind of conned you into picking up that job there and turned you into head coach there pretty quickly.
Yes, we ended up drafting that year. And, a lot of times when you draft and you have a brand new team, no players on it at all, they'll give you so many of the first picks, whatever. But we didn't. We just had to draft. So we made a decision to draft, 9 and 10 year olds. That was pretty good. So we had out of the 12 kids or 15 at that particular time, we had, 1 11 year old and, finished, Eldon Stout, was coaching Nunley's Drugs. That's who I played for when I was mm-hmm. in Little League. But anyway, they were very, very good and always had good teams. But anyway, I stayed down there 5 years, and we had a lot of success, but it was hard to beat Elton because he was that old fashioned coach that just, he was a good worker and a good coach. You have to give mm-hmm. him his dues. So I moved up to Parkview at that particular time, and I was working as an aide up there as it was. And, when I started teaching up there, it was, you had Charlene Huddleston, Ann Ham, Sue Ann Nigler, Miss Bagwell, and Miss Wilson, and you couldn't find a teacher at Parkview at that particular time that wasn't just top of the notch. And you're set in between two housing projects, and the kids just needed the little love and attention. And I remember Mr. Loftus, he makes an announcement on the intercom and says, now, nobody can be after school, because all those kids from the housing projects will come over there and want to play basketball on the basketball court. And he said, we can't have unless you can get a teacher to stay with you. So I'd get over there at 6:15 or so, and then I'd leave at dark sometimes, because then a lot of times I was going over to the baseball field anyway. So one of the players, one of the kids came in and said, would you stay with us today while we're playing on the court? I said, sure. I said, in fact, I'll stay with you every day. I said, when it gets dark, you got to leave. I said, when I come out there and say, you know, I've got to go, I expect you to go. And to this day, every time I would go out there and say, you know, it's time to go, or they'd see me go into the car, they'd pick the ball up and go home. And it was really a neat, I mean, those were great kids. I mean, they didn't always have the best things in life, but they were just fantastic kids. And the teachers there just did a wonderful job. And of course, Mr. Loftus, and Ms. Street, who now does what normally two or three people do in the office. She did it all herself and was a nurse and she took care of the books and everything.
Everything rolled up in
the home. Gosh. And then we, of course, they moved to fifth and sixth grade to Prescott. And then, David Little was, again, he was just fantastic. He was really, really good.
So that was your move from, you had been at Parkview that yes. entire time. And then that was the opportunity for you to move to Prescott where right. you ran into Coach Little.
And also ran into probably the most important person in my life at that time, and that's my wife. And
good job.
Yes, it turned out. Funny story, we would go down on Wednesday evenings after school and play basketball in the gym at Prescott. And, you know, being an old country boy, there's a couple of things that you just played. You know, you love to compete. But this one girl kept guarding me every Wednesday we played. In fact, one time brought her boyfriend, or so-called boyfriend, with her, and she played rough. She played rough. And as it turned out, we decided to go golfing. There was four of us decided to go golfing, which she considered to be a date. But it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, you don't, that's not a date. That's just going out and competing. And so we go to the par three golf course that they had here in town, and then we set up a date. So my first official date was after dark, where we went out and eat and went to the movies. But her official date was when we played in
golfing.
Yeah, Kathy Bryant. And her mother is still living. Her dad passed away a few years ago. But, she's just the greatest mother-in-law that you can find anywhere. But I went on at Parkview, and then Mr. Norton, who was just, I think the world of Mr. Norton, he asked me if I'd be interested in coming to Allgood, and I went up there and interviewed, and he gave me the opportunity to go to Allgood, and I taught fifth grade with a fantastic group of people. We got along so well together, Karen Helton and Amy Collins and Kim Locke, and it was just like a family we mm-hmm. had there. And then I moved on to sixth grade, and then I was coaching basketball. I restarted the basketball program at Allgood. And our first year we had, you know, sixth and seventh graders, and we were playing against the eighth graders. So I think we won three or four games that year is all we won. But we got better each year and had the opportunity to coach a lot of great athletes and work with a lot of people. And toward the end, before I decided to retire from teaching and coaching, I had the opportunity to work with Randall Phillips. And Randall was just a fantastic coach. I mean, there wasn't an aspect of the game of basketball that he wasn't familiar with. So it's just kind of like you could bounce ideas off to him. And he just plain as day would just tell you what he thought, which was kind of refreshing, because you know, if you're asking, you don't want somebody to just tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And then a neat thing was Trey Bundrett, who I had coached, started in fifth grade, went on through high school, and then he came back, and he became an assistant with us. And Trey was just one of those young men that is he's like Randall. They're very religious as far as they have a good background. Parents are fantastic. And Trey was really good. You could ask him to work on any part of the game with kids. And he loved working with kids that maybe were not as good, and that's one of the things that you have to understand, that when kids play, they're out there trying, but they don't really, they value what they do as, you know, when they're playing in games, whereas I value what they do in practice. Because you got to have practice players, and they, if they get better, that makes your first team better too. So it was fantastic, both the teaching and coaching. And I know when I went to All Good, Mr. Norton left, and Miss Taylor, Leanne Taylor, took over, and she did a really good job. She was a student person. Mm-hmm. And then Tim Martin came over, and Tim just absolutely, anything with technology or anything, if you could prove to him that it was important, he got it for you, whether it be on the basketball court or in the classroom. And he just, I mean, he just kind of picked up where Leanne left off. And then I always wanted to call him Bubba Winningham, but Dr. Winningham.
Dr. Bubba.
Yeah, Dr. Bubba. he came in and just, it's going to be one of the upcoming principals, I think, too. And it was a great relationship. There's not anything that I regret. You know, you always would make some changes here and there. But I never worked with a bad group of people. And every teacher I ever worked with, I think, was from Rhonda Cole, who is still there, just a fantastic teacher. And Stephanie Boyd, Stephanie, yeah. I love Stephanie. She was, I mean, just
firecracker.
Yes, and would speak her mind. I mean, you know, if you didn't want to know, don't ask, yeah. Stephanie. And then, but we got a couple of new teachers in now. And there's one that took my place when I left, Johnny Harrison. And Johnny, I think, is going to be really, really good for this area. So. It was a fantastic group of people, and I taught fifth, sixth, seventh grade, and worked with Laura Young, who is as good of ELA teacher in the middle school that you'll find. She's just really good. And then, Miss Cannon, who's at the elementary school, really, really good. And Bart Cagle, they were just fantastic people to work with.
Well, let me add to that a little bit. You know, in order to have fantastic people to work with, you know, they've got to have fantastic people to work with. And you have definitely been that. There's been so many lives. I don't think I ever had a chance to play for you, but I played on teams that you coached, and you know, you were always at the top of your game. And it's interesting for me to have, you know, not be one of those guys that actually played for you. But, you know, I've talked to people over the years about you and all the things that you've done and this vast experience that you've shared with us today, Steve. And there's so many people's lives that you have touched along the way. I don't even think you have a finger on that. You don't even have an idea of how many people that you've influenced. And a lot of times we don't celebrate the folks that coach the younger children, the younger student athletes, because they get some of the notoriety when they get in high school and they get on into college. And, you know, I think it's as important for them having you there and what you've done over the course of your career for them and the leagues that you started, the tournaments that you started. I mean, it's as time goes on, people will continue to celebrate that because I know there's so many people out there that are so thankful for the things that you've done for their children at that younger age. I know that because I hear it. And I just want to congratulate you on all the success that you've had. Incredible story, you know, the years that you spent teaching and the difference you made in the classroom. And I'm a product of that. I don't know how you put up with me and how I made it through, but I did. And it's because, you know, you're open to that and you're open to helping kids and you're here for kids. And I wanted to take a minute to thank you for all the things that you've done for the student athletes, the students of Putnam County as you've made your way through. You're retired now and you put your time in and you've done enough and you're doing other things right now. But I just think it's, you know, a great opportunity for me to let you know there's folks out there that just think the world of you and all that you've done for them as they've gone through their school. Maybe we can get you back on here a little bit later and talk some more. But thank you for giving me your time today. I know you're busy, but I appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us.
Thank you.